Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, February 20th, 2015. And with me today, I have my two favorite ruffians, Brian Chaffin. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. And John Martellaro, how are you?
Ruffian? I beg to differ.
Oh, you can beg all you want.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to have both of you here today, and it's also great to have Lynda.com as our sponsor this week. I am really glad that they are our sponsor, and we'll be talking about them soon. But before we hop into that, there's a little bit of there's new news that has come out about Apple Car and when to expect it to actually roll out, and what I am assuming are just the Microsoft stores, which will be used as showrooms for Apple Car.
Still funny.
I can totally picture it. Anyhow, there's a report out that says Apple Car will come out in 2020, which is only 5 years from now. I'd like to point out I have been saying it'll be about 5 years from now when we get the car. I do recall, though, that there has been a little bit of disagreement between you two about when the car is coming out.
Ding, ding. Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, weighing in at more stone than he cares to acknowledge, the inimitable, the mighty, the powerful, Brian Chaffin. And in this corner, weighing in at 180 pounds, his hair salt and pepper, the gentlemanly, the scholarly, John Martellaro.
The satin boxing shorts you're both wearing? Oh, yeah. Absolutely fantastic.
John, I recall you distinctly saying that you think that you thought this car would be released in 7 to 10 years.
Oh, Patua, you're going to tie me to that?
Well, in that you said it, yes.
Well, I was an estimate, and clearly Apple's been working on this for a while, so I'm going to give myself a little bit of head start, and so that drops in at the low end of the range. That gives
hold
us
on a second.
Seven
hold
years.
On a
so what's
hold
the
on
big
you
deal?
Said 7 to 10 years from now. I happen to have said 4 to 5 years from now.
Oh, well, I'll bet you a quarter.
One of us was right,
somewhere in the middle.
One of us was entirely wrong.
What's the big deal, Mr. Chaffin?
I don't know. The big deal is that
we're quibbling over a little bit of money here.
The big deal is that you're rarely wrong, and when you are, I like to enjoy it.
You know, it's true, Brian. When you have the opportunity to call John out in the loving way that you do, you do relish the moment.
I do, and it's because John is so seldom wrong. When he is wrong, he's fabulously wrong, and I love him for it.
Well, just watch out here, because I have a blue belt in Kenpo karate. So,
listen, John, I'm going to be honest with you. You probably don't even need that to take me out. So, you know.
No, I'm assuming all you really need if you want to take him out is a phone call and a promise to buy dinner.
Or you could blow in my ear for some.
But here's the deal. Here's the deal. So the existing auto industry usually takes 7 to 10 years to develop a car from scratch. And so, they kind of know what they're doing.
Yeah, they have many, many decades of experience.
Yeah. So for Apple to be able to – so, all right, 2020, the story was this. Apple supposedly has been pushing its development team to be able to meet a schedule where the Apple Car would be in production by 2020, which could actually mean that it would actually be released in 2021. Being in production in 2020 does not necessarily mean it would be released in 2020, but thereabouts. We don't know, of course, that actually is going to happen, and we don't – and it's even possible that the Bloomberg source could have been wrong. But even assuming they started that car, say, 2 years ago, which I think is about right, that would be a seven-year time cycle to get that car into production, and that would be – insanely fast for a new entrant to the market.
Yeah, you know, there's always some wrinkle. I mean, I think that's an aggressive schedule from Apple. And I think Apple's full of vim and vigor and energy and financial resources, enthusiasm and technical capability. But when it comes down to, you know, the details of a commercial car, in some tiny, tiny 1% sense, those Detroit executives do have a point. You know, you have to go through a phase of not only designing the car and getting it ready for production, but you have to take it out on the track. You have to take it into bad weather conditions. You have to cover it with a camouflage cloth and have some test drivers drive it around the country for, you know, a few months. You know, there's all those nagging details of how it handles bad weather, cold weather, vibration. You know, there's a lot of details to get under your wings, and that usually ends up dragging it out a little longer than you had hoped, in my perspective.
Yeah, the big problem I see there is, how do you get the actual road testing to happen without people seeing the car? And my first thought is, man, if the top level executives at Apple just only had friends that were rich enough to have bought an island. And it turns out they do. So they could address that issue by putting planes on a private jet and sending them off to a private island and doing all their outdoor tests there.
Well, there's plenty of test tracks in California too, but that's fair weather. Yeah.
And, you know, I was on Gene Steinberg's recorded. Here I am. I'm outing him. This Saturday, I'm going to be on Gene Steinberg's show. And in a preview of what we're going to talk about, we will discuss the how Apple could actually test drive these cars ahead of time without letting them out of the bag. And like a big part, I mean, there's a lot of things that they could put into another chassis, and you know, just, you know, like a minivan, and test things like your suspension and your drive
train.
Brian, what if Apple didn't need to do that? You know, in Detroit, there's fierce competition. You know, and there's this latent idea about, you know, flashy new models and keeping it a secret from the journalist and the Detroit Auto Show, and sort of like, you know, suspense, and you don't want the other companies to, you know, get onto what you're doing or maybe steal your designs, or, you know, in that very competitive current auto industry. But what if Apple, being the odd man out, didn't need to do that? What if they didn't put any camouflage on it? What if they drove it around, let everybody look at it, whet everybody's appetite?
Yeah, because that's the Apple way.
Panic.
That's the Apple way. It's not like
there's the car. Oh my God! Oh my God! There it is! There it is! What are we going to do? You know, so maybe they don't need to keep it a secret.
But that's not how Apple works. I mean, like, have you just now met this company?
Well, you know, I'm just theorizing that in the case of a car, maybe they don't need to do that.
Because I think they will ship that thing to and from in semis that are, you know, like it, the semis that can back into
but you got to weigh that against the idea that Apple's new to this industry. I mean, if Apple were a standard competitor, yeah, maybe, but Apple's a new guy, and they're going to be under a lot of scrutiny, and the car has to be very good and very reliable.
John, I mean, there's
first time out, so maybe it's wise for Apple to sort of slowly let the cat out of a bag and build our confidence.
But that's not what Apple does.
I know, but consumer products, you know, where you want to delight and surprise the customer, and Apple has a lot of competition with Samsung and other companies.
Apple has all the money in the world. If they want to keep this thing secret, they can do it.
Yeah,
and Apple wants to keep everything secret.
I know, but I'm just
please bet me.
Out an idea that maybe since they're the first kid on the block with this, that maybe a developed set of expectations and warming us up to the idea.
I will bet you a hug that you're wrong.
All right, you got that.
And John, I think you're wrong also, but I'm not going to bet. Here's the reason I think you're wrong.
It's just a theory. It's just a theory.
Okay. Well, here's why I think your theory is flawed. This is a totally new market for Apple. And my guess is that they don't want anyone to see anything that looks even remotely flawed before the product rolls out. Yeah. Because at any point, I mean, they could get like down to the wire and be like, you know what? We can't put this in production. This is going to be bad. And if they have been driving this prototype car around, showing it to everyone or letting everyone see it, and then they back out of that, the news is all going to be Apple failed. They couldn't get the car out.
That's a very good point, and it counters my theory very nicely. So that's why theories are proposed, just to get the discussion going.
Can't we stick with please bet me because you're going to be wrong?
Well, you know, the best way to have a good idea is to have lots of ideas. So why not just throw a theory out there and open it for discussion? And you know, Jeff had a great point.
Because there's jerks like me around.
I'll still hug you.
Yay! I win.
So there you go, Brian. It doesn't matter how this plays out. You still win.
Excellent.
Yeah. And we have a sponsor today. I believe I have mentioned that. Our sponsor today and all this week has been Lynda.com, the online training company.
Yes.
And what I love about the fact that Lynda has been sponsoring us all week is that they're giving people a way to get 10 free days of learning. And my feeling is any opportunity you have to learn, you should. Because if you're not learning, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, well, then your whole life is just stagnating. And that's a bad thing. So if you feel like your life just isn't moving along the way it should, maybe learning something new is the kickstart you need to get back in action. So you can do that with Lynda.com. They have classes for so many different topics, and they're coming out with new classes all the time. Earlier this week, they rolled out a bunch of more topics, and that was a horribly structured sentence. Sorry about that. Anyhow, if you think that it's time for you to start learning to program, then take some Swift classes, or if there are other languages that you think you need to learn, okay? They have classes for those coding languages too. You can learn how to get your mobile office up and running. And at first glance, it wouldn't seem that difficult. You throw your MacBook Pro in a bag and away you go. Well, there's a lot of other things to take into consideration. And here, you can learn those things before you get out and away from your desk and find out that you have a serious problem that stops your ability to do your job that day. And I love that they have classes that teach you how to run your business, how to make sure your taxes are getting handled properly, how to use graphic design programs, and that all of these things are taught by the top experts in their fields.
Who?
Top experts. Yeah. So head over to Lynda.com. That's Lynda.com/TDO. And you'll be able to get your 10-day free trial there. No cost or additional obligation to you. And start learning something new today. And when you do go and sign up for your 10-day free trial, what you're doing is you're letting us know that that you like supporting us. Thank you very much. And you're letting Lynda know that that you're great and intelligent people that need to learn and want to learn, and then they'll keep making great offers for people like you. So thank you, Lynda.com, for sponsoring us this week. And now the second topic that I thought we could hit today is, excuse me, isn't this awesome? I just forgot what it was. It's John's thing.
Tenure thing.
Yes. Yes.
Professionals. We're also top experts.
Top experts.
Top shelf.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's actually the first time as I went to say what the next topic was that I wanted to talk about that I realized I suddenly couldn't remember it. That's awesome. Sorry about that, John. Nice. Yeah. So you had kind of tossed around a couple ideas earlier this week about about what you thought the future could hold for the iPhone. And you put all that together yesterday. And I thought it would be really cool to dive into that and get your perspective on what our iPhones could look like in the next few years.
Yeah, it all started when we were doing the TVO on Wednesday, and I was peripherally talking about how I thought the display of the iPhone would evolve. You know, the iPhone's gotten really powerful. It's 50 times faster than the original iPhone of 2007. It's got great capabilities, great radios. But we walk around with this thing stuck in our face. You know, people get run over by buses almost. You know, they sit in offices and subways and waiting rooms, and they have this thing that they're holding in their hand and they're staring at. And this is a new phenomenon, but it seems temporary to me. It seems like it's not the end of the technology curve. It seems like it's a sort of a waypoint, a temporary thing, because we're tied to a physical display. And so a little 5-inch screen, and the little 5-inch screen we have to stare at seems out of proportion to the processing capability of an iPhone, which is many times greater than the old Cray supercomputers from the 80s. So I've had a long-standing belief that the way to go forward into the future is to separate the guts, the battery, the radios, the incredible processing power from the display of the information itself, and move that display into your visual field as a sort of a heads-up information. And so I talked about several different ways where we could have the iPhone of the future transmit information into our visual field through various biological and technical processes, so that it's where it's supposed to be. You know, our visual field is incredible. It's hundreds of megabytes. You can turn your head real fast and you don't see any tearing like you see on some 4K displays. There's no optical artifacts. Your brain instantly transforms 100 megabytes and moves it.
Digital, right, John?
Well, however it does it, we're not sure, but the brain
John's
is able
might
to
be digital.
Probably is, yes. So that's because that's why I'm either wrong or right most of the time. So
well played, sir.
So I wrote about what I knew, and you know, recently we've decoded the information coming from the retina. We know how to structure the information. We know how the information is being transmitted from the retina to the brain, so that if somebody were blind and they could get an artificial eye or something, we could code the electronics to send the same kind of signal that the eye's retina did, so that the brain would properly interpret it as an image. That's awesome. And that maybe is opening the door in the future to you know, special contact lenses, you know, the ultimate version of Google Glass without the recorder, to transmit information that would overlay our visual field. And so we wouldn't have to wear goggles, we wouldn't have to wear Google Glass, we wouldn't be like Terminator, but we would be able to naturally talk to our iPhone. In 10 years, I expect to be able to carry on a conversation with our iPhone that would pass the Turing test, and so you'd be able to have a natural conversation with your phone, much like in the movie Her, where you'd be able to say, hey, good morning, what's the weather going to be like today? And then you'd see in your visual field, you'd see a little graphic of the weather timeline and the current temperature and so on. And you'd get away from this business of holding a 5-inch LCD thing in our face. So that was the gist of the article, and it got very popular overnight.
So now I was glad to see that you dismissed the Google Glass style of displays, because that has received just a stunning amount of resistance from people. And I do like the idea of having something that's far more elegant and visually transparent.
Well, what I said about Google, as I said, it's in a sense, Google was on to something basic. It's just that their implementation was too early, too crude, too large, and it violated the norms of social customs. But it's not a bad idea to move the information off the iPhone display and into the visual field. That part that was the dream that they were working on, and it was, I think that's the seed of a good idea.
Well, and not being one to always stay on one side of the fence, I'll jump over to the other side now and say that the fact that Google was willing to conceive or design and produce Google Glass, I think is actually a really good thing, because someone had to hit that barrier and push on it and start setting us up for the technological and social changes that come along with new ways of interfacing with our technology. And I think that even though Google Glass looks like it's pretty much just fizzling out, the fact that it happened at all is a really good thing for the market overall, and it will lead to much better ways of giving us that personal instant access to data without having to hold our iPhones up at our face all the time.
Exactly. What Jeff said.
There you go. And Brian, you got like really quiet.
Well, I'm still tense about the movie Her, but that's another issue.
Yeah, I understand. I totally get it.
Tell me because Her is such a interesting technological tour de force of the future. What's your heartburn?
It's about my book.
It's not about Scarlett.
No, it's not. It's not about the movie. It's not about the movie itself. It's about the fact that they used something exactly like I did.
Oh, well, that's the way things go in sci-fi circles. Get used to
it. It's true. Nonetheless, I don't really have anything to argue against. I do think that that's coming. I think that that's pretty inevitable. I believe that that's the way to do. I think that first we'll have contacts, then we will have even eye replacements, and at some point we will have direct access to the circuitry that actually controls what we see, and that can, you know, we will be able to have virtual assistants in our heads that can just slap stuff up in our own little personal heads-up display that doesn't involve any kind of actual display.
One of my brilliant readers suggested something I hadn't thought of, and that was, if I got it right, gene therapy in the womb, where you could alter your certain aspects of your physiology to be amenable to a radio frequency signal that would be interfaced to your eye. And that would be very natural. You'd grow up with it. That way you won't have to have any surgery or implants. That would be amazing.
Can you imagine a time when someone finds out they're pregnant, and during the pregnancy they decide what computer platform for life their child will use? So they have the right genetic augmentations happen in the womb that are compatible with whatever that platform is.
That's kind of creepy. Every Apple salesman in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. To be fair, I think at that point there would just be hooks into the system.
Yeah.
Sure. Nonetheless, just that notion is kind of creepy, as is the notion of, well, if we have genetically altered ourselves to be more directly receptive to technology, and there are people out there that like to hack into systems, at what point can someone hack into us?
It's true.
Well, that's like a real exciting point to.
Well, we saw that in Star Trek a lot, right? Where Spock had the unique ability to resist certain mental penetrations of advanced beings, whereas other normal human beings could not resist it.
Brain and brain. What is brain?
Right.
Yeah.
I'll just go there.
So well played, Brian. We are out of time, so we'll have to wrap this up. And I think that without realizing that we were opening up a big can of worms here, we have some more topics that we can look at in the future. And listeners, if you have any ideas on how this could play out and what the physical and social ramifications are, let me know. You can find me on Twitter, or the TMO, excuse me, the TDO account on Twitter is TMO Daily. And yeah, I'd love to get your feedback also. Thank you, John and Brian, for joining me today.
Yep.
As always, thanks for having us. Yeah, it's always great to have you here. Thank you, Lynda.com, for being our sponsor this week. So head on over to Lynda.com, LYNDA.com/TDO. Sign yourself up for 10 free days of training. And even if you're thinking, oh, I don't need anything, go ahead and do it anyhow. Just give it a shot. Play with something because really, it's not even going to cost you anything. So learn something for free. Go ahead and do it. Everyone have an awesome weekend. We will see you again next week.
Hey, Brian. Hug, yep. Hug.